Amen. I want to say thank you for those of you. I drove to Memphis last Sunday when I left here, along with two other guys, and some of you called me every hour. And I'm like, okay, it's time for you to go to bed now. But thank you so much. Got home, found my mom doing well, based on what my brothers and sisters had told me. I thought I would get there and be driving my mama around from doctor to doctor, but instead I had to go from Home Depot to Lowe's. Monday morning, when I got in about 5 o'clock Monday morning, laid down, woke up with my mama. I said, "Mama, tell me some things that we can do today, I can do for you." She says, "Oh, good." She has a wall between the living room and the dining room. She says, "I want a big hole cut out of this wall, and I want my walls painted." Well, the walls got wallpaper on it that's been on there for years. So we start taking off a little wallpaper and discover that we can't get this done by Friday. So I got to go and get 18 sheets of drywall. Drywall it and just do a lot of little stuff for my mama. And I discovered that sometimes we think people are sick and they're lonely. And they just need a little love, amen? And they just need a little attention. But that's just not for people who are 88 years old, amen? That's for all of us. Don't we all need a little love? And don't we all need a little attention? Amen. So thank you for your prayers and even the gift that you gave to help me get home. Thank you so much. So happy to look over to my right and see Sister Luz Rhodes here today. Will y'all say amen? God bless you and thank you for your strength to be here today and for the worship and the praise that you give to your God in the place that you give it to God. Say amen. Amen. So happy to see Brother Bill Johnson here today. Amen. Would y'all say amen? Amen. As we prayed and celebrated the life of Brother Jim Rhodes a few weeks ago, we also prayed and celebrated with Brother Bill Johnson the life of his mother, who was just last week, I believe last Saturday. Amen. So God bless you and thank you for your presence and your strength to go on. Amen. And then all of you today, you know what I've discovered at this age in life is that we all stand in the need of each other's prayer. We don't always get a chance to send a text and say this or that. But let us all pray one for the other, because if it ain't one thing we need, it's another. Amen. So we're praising God for all that he does for us and all that he does through us. Really, really excited about the harvest, the Holy Week that's fastly approaching, the flyers that we give all to all of the people in the community, to Buffalo and to Syracuse and surrounding cities. They are here today, so when you leave out of the church, be sure, if you're going to give out the flyers, be sure to get the flyers and give them out. Tickets are available for the concert. The opening concert is going to be very different. It's going to be very big. It's going to be wonderful. Now, granted, some of you all are just like me. I know old school. I know old school in Memphis this week, and mentioned folks have seen Zacardi Cortez, who's coming here, and everybody know him. Like, where have I been? And when I ask folks where have I been, they say, "You've been over in that quartet world, and you're missing out on a lot of stuff that's going on." So what I've agreed to do is to buy 20 tickets for the concert, because I know a lot of quartet singers like me that don't know these new singers. So I'm going to make sure that some of my folk out there in the quartet world get introduced to this good, fantastic young man. Travels with T.D. Jakes, travels with Paul Morton, singing in convention centers and everywhere. A young man that I have researched since he's been brought to my attention, and I'm excited to know that he's going to be here. So you don't want to miss the opening concert, and you don't want to miss Monday through Friday morning, because we have fabulous anointed preachers that God has sent with us. This year on Thursday night, churches are getting together. We will be joining churches at Greater Harvest Church for the Monday Thursday service. I think you know that. You may not know that, but I want to bring that to your attention, that we go Thursday night to Greater Harvest Church, and it's us having church in the community. Somebody say community. And then on Friday night, we will come back here with seven powerful preachers who are going to give us the seven last words. They're all pastors in this city, seven women this year, and that's going to be phenomenal. So begin now to prepare. I think there will be a sign-up sheet today again, a sign-up sheet for all of the areas of ministry and needs and services that we have for our Holy Week. Amen. I know pastors and people who will be flying into our city just to be a part of our Holy Week, and I'm happy about that as well. Amen. So always happy to have the McMichaels with us today. Can we say amen for President Dr. and Mrs. McMichael, who are with us? Amen. Our ministers, our great diaconate and trustees. Y'all know in the Baptist church, you know, in the Church of God in Christ, they get up and they say, I thank God for saving me, for filling me with the Holy Ghost, and that with fire. In the Baptist church, we say, first giving honor to God, head of my life, to the ushers, the trustees, the deacons, the pastors, the members, and Christian friends. Amen. I think it's good to acknowledge people and let people know how much you appreciate their presence. I'm going to Mark chapter 8. Thank God for John Lightfoot in the AV area today. And somebody asked me why I say thanks all of the time, because it takes all of us to make this go. Amen. I say thank you because I know that we cannot do it by ourselves. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate the chairs who serve this ministry. Linda Davis. We don't acknowledge our chairs a lot. Linda Davis, please stand. She's the chair of our trustee board. Karen Pashal is the co-chair of our trustee board. Please stand. Amen. Ben Bruce is the chair of our diaconate ministry. Please stand. Amen. And our co-chair is who just finished singing, is celebrating with another group at this hour, but Brother Rob Mitchell, I certainly appreciate the team that God has given to this church. Will you go with me to Mark chapter 8? Mark chapter 8. So I'm discovering that the fewer verses I read, the shorter I preach. Amen. Somebody say, just read one verse. So turn to Mark chapter 8 and go down to verse 31 and just kind of keep that open. And so I'm going to jump right here in the middle, but you want to keep this open. I'm going to go to verse 32. It says, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. I guess I got to go to verse 31. And he began to teach them. Verse 30, and he charged them that they should tell no man of him. I'll get that. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man, here it is right here, here's the sermon, must suffer many things, must be rejected of the elders, must be rejected of the chief priest. Chief priest must be rejected of the scribes, must be killed, and after 3 days must rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I want to talk about in the trenches with Jesus. In the trenches. In the trenches with Jesus. In the trenches with Jesus. Jesus does not invite us to watch him in the trenches of ministry. Rather, Jesus invites us to get in the trenches with him. Years and years ago, Parker Brothers had a board game called Going to Jerusalem. In this board game, your game piece was just a little plastic disciple with a robe, beard, sandals, and a staff. In order to move around the board, you had to look up answers in a little black New Testament provided, the New Testament provided with the game. Little black book that was provided, little black testament that was provided with the game. In this game, you always started in Bethlehem. And you made stops at places like the Mount of Olives, Bethesda, Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, and you stopped at places like Bethany in this game. It was possible with two rolls of the dice to go directly to the triumphal entry. In other words, you could roll the dice, so to speak, and bypass all of the stops that Jesus technically made and get straight to the resurrection. The game never got to the crucifixion. The game never got to the demons. There was nothing in the game about anger, nothing in the game about the Pharisees. There was nothing in the game about the rough life and the hard times that Jesus had. In the board game, you made your way through the nice story. And the adventure was always safe and suited for a nice Christian family to play on a Sunday afternoon walk with Jesus. Now, come here, y'all. Life is not this Parker Brothers board game. You're going to have some ups. It does not matter how the dice rolls, or what number it rolls on, into each life some rain just must fall. Some winds will blow. You will have some good days, but you will also have some bad days. You will have days when you are well, but you will have days when you are sick. You'll have days when the bills are paid, and you'll have days when you wonder where the bill money is coming from. Traveling with Jesus is not about being little plastic disciples who only go through the nice stories and never have to get to the crucifixion. If that is your understanding of following Christ, then take a good look at what your expectations, especially as we continue this journey in the season of Lent. What are you really looking for in life? I've kind of learned not to ask God to teach me patience. I'm talking about me now. I just kind of stopped asking God. God, just teach me patience. And God, give me patience. And the Lord, guide me so that I can become patient, because God has strange and unusual ways of teaching us patience and teaching us the things that we ask him to do. So what I'm really trying to say is, be careful what you ask God, because God may answer your prayer just like you asked in your prayer. In board games and in real life, following Christ seems to bring along certain expectations when you decide to follow him. Followers of Christ may bring along their own expectations, because in the church, we have given such false statements to people who are outside of the church. And it's not with bad intent, it's with the best of intent. We've seen people out in life struggling. And one of the first things we do is say, come to church. We see people going through pain and misery and the trials of life. And one of the first things we do is say, come to church. But coming to church is not the solution to the problems. If you left home broke, coming to church won't give you any more money than you had when you left home. But what coming to church will do, it'll help you to walk through your brokenness with a different attitude. So what Jesus is saying in this text to us is, I want you to begin to look and consider the things that you expect when you start following Christ. Were you expecting, because the text says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Were you really expecting a Mercedes? Were you really expecting a new house, a new car, a new dog, a new dress? Is that really what you were expecting? Mark chapter 8, verse 31 says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. I looked at that while lying in the back of my truck for 10 hours of a road trip and looking at this. And I kept going through this piece that says, the Son of Man must suffer. And this text calls me to even begin to question my own expectations in following Christ. Because I don't know what yours are or have been and what you've thought of God, but I've kind of looked at God as a big brother. And Manuska, one thing that my big brother would not do, would allow, he wouldn't let anybody mess with me. He wouldn't let anybody mess with me. He protected me. Sometimes I was wrong and my brother still protected me. But in the meantime, I never learned how to protect myself. And there were times when I got caught out there without my brother. And so what I've learned is, he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things. God also says in this same text that we're going to suffer many things. But what I've learned in suffering is, in suffering, you learn how to protect yourself. You learn how to protect your heart. You learn how to protect what you invest in. You learn how to protect what you say. You learn how to protect what you let go in to your ears, because what goes into your ears ends up in your heart. And so when he says the Son of Man must suffer many things and he must be rejected of elders, nobody likes rejection. But you got to learn how to navigate life even when you suffer many things. And you got to learn how to navigate life even when you are rejected. Doesn't matter how many degrees and how nice your resume looks, everybody's not going to hire you. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. He says Jesus must be rejected of elders and rejected of chief priests and rejected of scribes and even be killed. 3 days later, he will rise again. I was reading this verse because I don't know what it means to you, but it means to me that your darkest day is not the end of your life. It means that the trials won't last always, because he says in 3 days you'll rise again. Y'all know what the truth of the matter is. Most of our problems, they really gone in 3 days. Have you ever thought about how disgusted and how, y'all saw me the other Sunday, I stood here and cried over the fact that something had happened to my mother, but really before the third day, I was already all right, because God has a way of letting a resurrection experience happen in your life. Who am I talking to today that understands that trouble is not designed to kill you? Trouble really comes to build you. You know, you don't have to ask God to teach you. He made us. And he made us to teach us. He made us to reach us. He made us to bring us. He made us because we are his. God's going to take care of us. If I can get you to expect anything, just expect God to take care of us. Because he will. And verse 32 says, and he spake that saying openly. We are so private now. We don't want people going to the hospital, in the church. I mean, all they got is a little flu or cold. They want nobody to know. Some people go have knee surgery, back surgery, hip replacement, and don't want anybody to know. And here Jesus saying, I must suffer many things, but I want everybody to know. I must be rejected of many people, and I want everybody to know. I must be rejected of the priests and the elders. All of the high muckety muck are going to reject me, and I want everybody to know. Because not only will you see me be rejected, and not only will you see me suffer, you're going, if you watch me long enough, I'm clapping right there because that's good. If you watch me long enough, you won't just see me down. You'll see me when I get up. There's a song that Phoebe sings, and she says, everybody saw me when I was down, but nobody saw me when I got up. And generally, because when people see you down, they'll walk away and leave you there, and they won't watch you or help you. Jesus says, I want you to see me down. I want you to see me be rejected. I want you to see me suffer, because that's not how the story ends. And so I don't care what you're going through this morning. I don't care how hard it is. If you just hang in there, that's not how the story ends. Who am I talking to today? You've been through something. You had some hard trials. And now that you're back far enough to see, you can say, God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you for that. I lost that house, and I thank you for that. I lost that car, but not only did I lose the car, I lost the responsibilities of that car. And I thank you for that. The key of their expectations is found in the discussion that immediately preceded the story. Verse 27, Jesus had asked his followers, what are people saying about him? Who do men say that I am? Now notice, he's not talking to strangers. He's not talking to people just passing along. He's talking to his followers. I mean, you all are the one that when I stop, Jesus says, you bump into me. That's how close you are. And so if anybody is saying anything about me, you know. And since I know you know, I'm going to ask you, what are they saying about me? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And their reply was, well, you know, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art Elijah. And some say that you're just another one of the prophets. Jesus did not deny any of their claims. He simply said, that's good. That's good. That's good. Some see me as John the Baptist. That's good. Because John the Baptist was a nice fellow. Folks say, you Steve Harvest. I say, that's fine. Some people say, I'm Lionel Richie. That's fine. Because what they don't know, I've been called a whole lot worse than Steve Harvey and Lionel Richie. And I hear Jesus saying, I've been called a whole lot worse than John the Baptist, Elijah, and the other prophets. But what I really want to know is more than what they are saying about me and what they think about me. You tell me, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Son of God. Do you know that the Jews always believed that they were the children of God, and they looked back at the reign of King David as the height of the Israel's glory. They believed that the day would come when all of the enemies would be broken and the Messiah would lead them in power and a peace that would last forever. Jesus Christ was their hope, and now their hope was talking about suffering. I hope y'all see what I'm saying. Jesus was their hope, and now their hope is talking about being killed. All I got is you, and you're talking about suffering. All I got is Jesus, and you're talking about being rejected, and ultimately, you're talking about being killed. Come a little closer. Let's go home with this. No one wants to hear that kind of negative talk about their hero. Nobody wants to hear that. When LeBron is now my favorite player, now that I got Dr. Mack, I got an understanding between the basketball and the football, and I know that LeBron now is with the Cleveland Cavaliers and not with the Cleveland Browns. I got it all straight now. LeBron is my favorite player. And when things were not, come here, y'all. Ain't it amazing how when you're losing and when you're not on top of your game, people will say, crucify him. People will throw you out the park. People will talk about you. People will burn your souvenirs, your paraphernalia. They'll burn that when you lose it. But as soon as you win, was that the Super Bowl? The championship. I'm getting there. As soon as you win, Dr. Mack, don't laugh at me. As soon as you win, they'll raise you up and sing all hail the king. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody wants to hear negative talk about their hero. And the Jews did not want, they were depending on Jesus to get them through. And you talk about suffering? They were depending on Jesus to pull them through. And he's talking about being rejected. They were depending on Jesus to pick them up. And he's talking about being killed. The mood was, I want you to hear the mood during this Lenten season. The mood was, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Give us the good news. You know, that's how life is. It's always, if it's good news, it's bad news. If it's bad news, it's good news. And all Jesus had here was bad news. And the disciples were, the Jews were, give us the good news. We want to hear that our leader has a plan to reverse this miserable circumstance and reclaim our rightful place as the blessed people of God. We need a bailout plan. We want to hear about your stimulus package. Don't tell us that this is about to be over. Don't tell us that hard times are coming. Don't tell us that we're going to run into the storm. But let me tell y'all what makes us appreciate February, January. Let me tell you what makes us appreciate April this coming is the March that's already here. Let me tell you what makes us appreciate the sunshine is the rain that we have right now. And so God has a way of giving us a stimulus package even when it doesn't look like it's stimulus to us. It was as if Peter and the other disciples were tugging at Jesus' sleeve and saying, say it ain't so, Jesus. Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. Jesus was not meeting their expectations. We want a Superman. We want a Batman and Robin. We want a hero. And heroes don't suffer. Heroes don't get killed. Heroes are not mistreated by the people in high places. Before Jesus responded to Peter, the Bible says he turned. Come here, I want you to see this. I looked at this. I darkened this when I looked at it. It says he turned and he looked at his disciples. And Jesus took exception when his followers attempted to dissuade him from doing God's will, discourage him. They tried to talk him out of doing. Come here, I want to ask you something. Anybody ever tried to talk you out of doing God's will? They tried to talk him out of doing God's will. Jesus turned, and the Bible says he looked at his disciples, and then he said very sternly to Peter, get away from me. Satan, you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, but you're not looking through the eyes of God. And that's what I want to tell all of us today. We've got to stop looking at it from the human point of view, and we've got to see it through the eyes of God. Every time I get a chance, I tell it, we got to walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is just too limited. Sight lets us see up to the door, but faith lets us see beyond the door. Sight lets us see us going to bed at night, but faith lets us see ourselves waking up in the morning. Sight lets us see ourselves making the bill, but faith lets us see ourselves paying the bill. Sight lets us see ourselves having enemies, but faith lets us see ourselves having friends. Sight lets us see ourselves living in this earthly house of this tabernacle, but faith lets us see ourselves moving. Somebody say, go on and kill me, I'm moving anyway. Go on and deny me, I'm moving anyway. Take my house if you want it, I'm moving anyway. So we got to walk by faith and not by sight. He says, get thee away from me, Satan. You're looking through the wrong eye. And so when you look at life and you get discouraged, just discover you're looking through the wrong eyes. When you look through the eyes of Jesus, you'll see rejection, but you will also see resurrection. When you look through the eyes of Jesus, you'll see hard times, but you'll also see the good is on the way. When you look through the eyes of Jesus, you'll see tears and pain and suffering over here, but you'll also see joy and happiness and goodwill over here if you look through the eyes of Jesus. Let me ask you something. What he's really telling us is, I don't want you standing up on the balcony looking at me. I want you down here in the trenches walking with me. And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you. And if you hold my hand, I'll hold your hand. Do y'all understand how Jesus really works? I'm telling you this, and I'm going to let you go. Years ago, when Rico was a little bitty boy, he got lost in the mall. Memphis had built a new mall, the Mall of Memphis. Rico was 3 years old. We walking in the mall, holding my hand. And you know, a three-year-old is grown. Dad, you don't have to hold my hand. He studied Yankee. Dad, you don't have to hold my hand. So I get the browsing and browsing, and the longer I browse, the more he pulled, the more he pulled, and he finally got out of my hand. I'm browsing, and my little grown three-year-old son supposed to be with me because the rule was stay with me. He's just browsing and browsing, and finally, when I stop looking, I look around, and my son is nowhere. Nowhere to be found. Now I'm walking through the mall saying, my son is lost. My son is lost. I can't find my son. My son is lost. I can't find my son. And guess what? I stumble up on him, and guess what I heard him saying? My daddy is lost. I can't find my daddy. My daddy is lost. I can't find my daddy. My daddy is lost. Come here, y'all, come over here. But guess what? When he found me, I also found him. What I'm trying to tell you is, when I hold God's hand, he also holds my hand. When I get in the trenches and walk with him, he also walks with me. When I tell him to be my friend, he's also allowing me to be his friend. I can't touch him without him touching me. I can't look at him without him looking on me. And so what he says in this text, and I'm done, when I tell you, he said, come out of the balcony. He says, come out of the mountaintop. Stop looking in and get in and walk with me. And if you walk with me, I didn't mean to get happy, but I done got happy now. If you walk with me, can you tell your neighbor, if you walk with me, he'll walk with you. If he holds your hand, then that means you're holding his hand. If you stand by his side, that means he's standing by my side. If you get behind him, that means he's right in front of me. Can the church say yeah? Can the church say yeah? Good evening now. I ain't got to hold you long. What I'm trying to tell you is, he's a good God. He's a good God. I don't have to stay on the mountain. I can come in the trenches. And when I get in the trenches, I can tell the world, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, stay right there. Tell your neighbor to stay right there. I said, tell your neighbor to stay right there. The road gets rough. The going gets tough. The hills get a little hard to climb. There is no doubt in my mind. If anybody can say, I decided I've decided to make Jesus my choice. Can I say it just one time? Ain't God good? That's all. I do that when I get happy. Lift those hands and tell God, thank you. Lift those hands and tell God, thank you. Lift those hands and tell God, thank you. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? The doors of the church are open. God bless you. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. That's all. Stay in the trenches. Listen, if you didn't get it, let me tell you this. If you're in a place where you're being rejected, you've been denied, you're being hurt, you've been disappointed, you're suffering and even feel killed, spirit, joy, killed, just know you're in good company. You're right there where Jesus was. Put those hands together. Let's get a little...